pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study right now, we're going through the tribulation period. Now, I don't mean that we're in the tribulation, but we're studying about it. The dispensation number 7. And we just studied number 6, and that was the church dispensation. And thank God we're not going to be here when the tribulation starts. You know, last time I was teaching, I just about had a fit. In other words, I got excited because I started reading about how the Lamb of God was able to take the book, and he was able to open the book. And you read about that in Revelation chapter 5. You haven't read that, and we read it last time, Revelation chapter 5. John saw this scroll, and there was no one able to open it. But then there was one who stepped forward, and there was one who was found able to open the book. And that was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And verse 12 of Revelation chapter 5 saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." And of course, we know that this is Jesus Christ that these verses are speaking of. He's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was able to open the book. And I said this before, and I ended with this the last time. The remainder of Revelation chapter 5 leaves no doubt as to who is the one worthy to open the book. And that person is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And I pray that you know him as your Savior today. And you can get excited once you get saved. You can get excited about going to heaven and seeing the Lord. I'm excited to see him one day. I'm going to go to be with him. I'll be with him forever and forever. Well, we go into chapter 6 of Revelation now, and we're going to read about the seals of that book, the seals of Revelation chapter 6. Now notice, the opening of chapter 6 of the book of Revelation marks an important milestone in the progressive revelation of the end of the age. In chapter 5, John introduces us to the seven sealed book in the hand of Christ. When chapter 6 of Revelation, 6 seals are removed, revealing the tremendous events that will occur on the earth. Remember, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, I don't say they're going to be mild, but they're going to be something that is not as bad as the last 3.5 years. It's going to be a horrendous time that has never been, there's nothing that's ever been like it as bad before. And of course, there will be nothing like that ever again. Well, the first seal is seen here in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Well, the Lamb, Jesus, opens the first seal. In John chapter 1, verse 36, it says, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he," John the Baptist, "said this, saith, Behold the Lamb of God." And once again, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He was the one who opened the book. He's the one who could open the seal. And as the first seal is opened, John, in his vision, hears this, the noise of thunder. And this is symbolic. it symbolically represents a coming storm. There's something terrible that's about to happen. Well, we also see in that verse, in verse 2 of chapter 6, a white horse with a rider who had a bow and no arrows. This is a peaceful conqueror. Now, we've talked about this before, and we've read about this in Daniel, but I want to read it again. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. The prince of Daniel 9:26 is the Antichrist. And some people think that this has already happened, that Daniel 9:26 has already taken place, but it has not, according to the Word of God. If you compare Scripture with Scripture, this prince is coming, and he won't be here until the tribulation starts. He's going to come, and he will be here. Well, some people say, and they ask the question, is he here already? Well, he could be. I don't know. He just hasn't been revealed yet. Even when the tribulation starts, he's not going to be revealed as the terrible person that he really is. He's going to be revealed as the terrible person he is in the middle of the tribulation when he causes the worship, the Jewish worship. He's going to cause the desolation as he stands in the temple and he just makes fun of everything that the Jewish people have believed all their lives. They've been taught about God. But once again, now, they have been deceived up to this point and thinking that, looking up to him and thinking that he is for them, but he's totally against them because he's serving the devil. But once again, the middle of the tribulation period is going to be the start of something horrendous. Now let's read Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, and we see the second seal. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. Remember, the first one was white. The verse goes on to say, "And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Well, John sees a red horse now. The people of the earth suffer war and death because of the rider on the horse. The rider of the red horse would be the same one we see riding on the white horse of verse 2. And of course, that is the Antichrist. Now the third seal, Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Well, verse 5, the opening of the third seal reveals the black horse of famine. A pair of balances signifies that the measurement is exact and that food is scarce. A measure of wheat will be a very small quantity. The penny will be of much greater value than the word indicates here. The prices mentioned are famine prices for the necessities of life. And I say it's much greater than the word indicates. It's much greater than what we would think of today as a penny's worth. Well, then we get to the fourth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Well, the opening of the fourth seal reveals a pale horse with the rider being Death. death and hell, agony, will have the power over one-fourth of the earth to cause war. That's where the word sword comes in, war. Famine, this is hunger, death, and have power over wild beasts. Well, it's clear that the first four seals reveal invasion, slaughter, famine, and destruction. Now, it's probable that the opening of the first four seals reveal the onset of the calamities listed in a universal, worldwide sense. In other words, it's going to take place worldwide. All of this is going to be over all the world. Now, when we go back and we see, let me call your attention to something here, the third seal. Let me back up. It says that it's going to be so bad. The black horse, he that sat upon him had a pair of balances. Food is going to be scarce. Remember, I said talked about a penny. It's going to be very scarce, the food. But the last part of verse 6 of chapter 6 says, "And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." This is an indication of rich people, of people who have everything. They are not going to be bothered with what's happening. These would be the people who are probably and possibly closer to the beast than anyone else. But it will all be those people who are, who have, I believe, taken the mark of the beast. And they, as I remind you again, they will not be saved. They cannot be saved after they receive the mark of the beast. But during this time of famine, when things are very scarce, they're the ones who will be able to eat, because the Bible says, "See thou hurt not the oil and the wine," indicating that the rich people will not be affected. Well, as we continue studying, we see the fifth seal next. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." These people are there, and they ask, how long is this going to take, Lord? How long before we are avenged? And the Lord said, until your brethren are killed, until they're offered. And then everything will be fulfilled, should be fulfilled. In other words, there's a time when these people will give their lives for the cause of Christ. Well, the opening of the fifth seal reveals those killed for standing up for the word of God. We need to stand up today before this takes place. I mean, we're not going to be here during this time. We need to be so thankful that we have the opportunity right now of proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And notice during this time that we're looking at in Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11, the saints who have been killed want to know when God will judge those who killed them. White robes, as they are given, these are emblems of purity, innocence, and triumph. These faithful servants will rest as they wait for other faithful martyrs to join them. Have you trusted him today as Savior? You need to trust Jesus Christ. He is God. He's the Savior, and he wants to save you today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power, and gives them power to become the sons of God. Ask him into your heart today. He'll not turn you away.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.